The ancient path that restores. You know, in Jeremiah 6:16, there is a very powerful verse. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, when Jeremiah preached this message from God, the paths that he was calling people back to, well, see, this was about 500 years, 600 years before Jesus was born. And those ancient paths, the good way, the one where they could find rest, they were ancient then. And what was that? That was about 2,500 years ago. The paths were ancient, so they're really ancient now, aren't they? But those ancient paths, it's interesting, this passage was a key verse in giving birth to the group that we share in here, the restoration movement, because it was about restoring something. You know, almost every book in the New Testament warns that false teachers were going to come to the church, and there was going to be a great falling away. It's called the apostasy. And that happened. 1 John 2 talks about the Antichrist that came. It wasn't just one, it was many. Those in 2 John that talked about the one who taught that Jesus Christ had not come in the flesh, just lots of things that happened that led the church astray. Well, hundreds of years later, there was something called the Reformation movement, where they tried to reform what existed at the time. And that, in some ways, didn't work for people. So there was then the movement to restore, go back to the beginning, and try to restore what God had given people. And that was called the Restoration Movement. But it's important for us to understand. In fact, if we go all the way back to like Adam and Eve, if we'd have asked Adam and Eve, or if we were looking at them, what did restoration mean for Adam and Eve? Because it's obvious, Genesis chapter 3 is a lot different than Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis 2, they are walking and talking with God. There's just intimacy with God, openness, oneness with God. God would speak and they would listen. That's harmony. There's no discord. Incredibly high self-esteem. There was no shame, no fear, no blame. It was God's plan A. It was their slice, in a sense, of heaven on earth. And I say that knowing that you'll never have heaven on earth. But it was wonderful. And then Genesis 3 hits. And they're shameful, and they're fearful, and they're running and hiding from God. When God calls to them, when God goes to be with them and says, Adam, where are you? Did he say, we're over here? Is that what he said? No, he says, we're hiding because we're naked and afraid that you'll see us. And so then the blame game. You know, did you eat from the tree I told you not to? This woman that you gave to be with me, she took from the tree and I ate. So if you were talking about restoration for those two, what would that have looked like? Well, obviously it was going to take more than restoring some religion or restoring a certain doctrine. And trust me, I think correct teaching is super important. But when you talk about restoration, ultimately, all that stuff that God has done down through time towards human, it's all about one thing. And that's to try to restore our lives to the way that He designed and planned for us to be. When God made you, He dreamed a dream. He had a vision for who He wanted you to be. And anything less than that vision, you're not fully restored to Him. He's working on you, trying to bring about that life that He planned for you. And that goes so far beyond meeting in a certain place and saying certain things to each other. It's about living the life of God that Jesus brought to earth. That's restoration. And anything less really isn't God's idea of restoration. Now, when we talk about restoring something, restoring an old car, I was in a parking lot yesterday in Menards, and there was an old, I can't tell, maybe a 32 coupe. Didn't have a scratch of paint on it. But my grandson, Lanny, said, what kind of car is that, Grandpa? I said, well, let me get a little closer so I can read that name on the above that grill. And it was a Chevrolet. But it was a long ways away from being restored. Now you could have jacked that up and put big, wide, slick tires on it and put a big, 400-horsepower engine in it. You could have reformed it to the way that you think was better. But if you're going to restore something, you have to use original parts, don't you? And that's our God. See, nothing improves on the life that God planned for you and I to share in, His life. No amount of fame, no amount of earthly glory, no amount of earthly power, no amount of earthly riches substitutes for the life of God lived out in you and me. And that was God's plan for us. And that's what He's trying to work through to restore us. God is the original restoration expert. It's interesting because that verse that I just read in Jeremiah chapter 6, the one that says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You know what the response of the people was? We will not walk in it. No, we won't walk in it. What's it say in Isaiah 53? All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has gone his own way. You know, one of the reasons I think leadership right now is such an unpopular concept is because everybody wants to be the leader. And in our country, we're all kings and queens, right? You know, we fire the president after 4 years and maybe we rehire him once. We fire all the senators after 6 years and maybe we rehire him. I guess there's no term limits there. 3 years for... But who's the king and queens of America? It's us. We're the leaders. And it's kind of hard to find any followers in a nation where everybody's a leader. Each one has gone his own way. Right now, our country is just in an uproar, and ultimately it comes down to a question. Are you willing to follow? Because if you're not willing to follow, if I'm not willing to follow, then I just create more chaos. The word disciple, you know what that means? It means follower. What's the first thing that Jesus said to those fishermen as he walked up to them on the beach, at least in some of the Gospels? He walked up to them and it said, follow me. And they said, no, because we're following our own way. Is that what they said? Is that what Peter and John and James and Andrew said? No. They were willing to be followers, and they left their nets, and they followed that guy as he walked away down the beach, and their lives were never the same. There was a restoration process taking place there. In following Jesus, they were going to share in the life that God had always planned and designed for them to live. And that's the way God brought about that restoration. You know, it's interesting because that Jeremiah 6 passage, it calls us to stand and see and ask. Get busy. Don't just sit around. Stand. And look for that ancient path and ask. Ask and you shall receive, right? Isn't that what the Sermon on the Mount said in Matthew? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks has the door open to them. This is an active process. And once you get on that ancient path, what can that ancient path give you? It's the good way. It gives you goodness and it gives you a soulful rest. It gives your soul rest. Is your soul at rest? Is your soul troubled this morning? Do you have kind of a deep irritation within you? Are you struggling with just feeling after feeling after feeling that rises within you because life didn't turn out the way that you thought it was supposed to? I've got good news for you. There is rest for your soul here in this ancient path. But you have to accept, I have to accept, it's not our path. We're being invited into this path that's always existed for people. It's the ancient path that God laid out for us. And if we want it, we can have it. And if we choose not to have it, if we're like the people who first heard this from Jeremiah that said, we will not walk in it, well then our soul will never find rest. We'll always have this canker sore on our heart. Our soul will always be in distress. So God offers us peace and rest, but it comes at a price. It really does come at a price. Jesus wanted us to count the cost. That's one of the big points there in that chapter in Luke 14. He said, you got to count the cost. Because you're going to have to walk on a path other than the one that you make for yourself. You got to leave that behind. You're going to have to give up control. That's what trust in God means. You give up control. And that's hard. We die to ourselves. We give up control. We get on the path, the ancient path, that we didn't lay out, we didn't make. And there's probably going to be times when it's not going to be very pleasant. Was it always pleasant for Jesus to walk his path? No. And as disciples of Jesus, you can never get away from the fact that you follow a crucified Christ. You just can't. It's always there. Every time you get up in the morning, there's the nails. If any man would come after me, he says, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Daily self-denial. One time I was talking to a group of teens, I think it was a Bible camp, and I asked them, I said, what does it mean to deny yourself? I want you to listen to this. They had no clue. Our culture has been so focused on self and selfishness. This group of junior high schoolers, they had no clue what it meant to deny self. I had to start at the very beginning with them. I'm thankful that you know what it means. I'm glad that I know what it means to deny self. Now, do I always deny self? No. I'm in that discipleship process. I have to honestly look at myself and ask myself, am I willing to get on my cross? Am I willing to deny myself? Because if I'm not, I can't stay on the ancient path, folks. It's the path of the cross. And so, it comes with a price. But the point Jesus always made when he was talking about the price of discipleship, he says the reward is way more than the price. It's the best deal on planet Earth is what you get by following Jesus. Because it's a reward that's out of this world. The reward isn't on planet Earth. Well, I'm not saying that we don't get to love each other and support each other and encourage each other and bless each other. There's blessings in being a Christian here on earth. But it's nothing like the blessings you and I are going to share in when we leave this place. We don't live for this life. We live for the next one. That's where the ancient path takes us. It starts here. And it ends in that blessed life that the ancient path has always led to. And Jesus came to blaze that trail for us. Well, folks, the ancient path. How do you get on the ancient path? Well, you get on the cross with Jesus. That's what Romans 6 says. Don't you know that all of us that were baptized, we died with Christ, we were buried with him, and we were raised up with him? And it says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Jesus, so that we could live that new life. And so that's how you get on that ancient path. You have to die with Jesus, because not. But like I tell these people that are going to be baptized, I tell them, I said, you're going to die today. But this is just the first day that you're going to die. You're going to have to die every day after this, because when you go into this water of baptism, God puts you to death. He puts you on that cross with Jesus. And when you come up out of the waters of baptism, you come up carrying a cross. And in order to stay on this ancient path, in order to maintain your discipleship, you literally have to die to self daily. That's why you carry the cross. Is because every now and then you got to set that stinker up and climb on it and die to yourself. You have to put your will to death so that God's will can live in your life. And that was the message of Jesus. You got to die to live. That's what we celebrated in communion. One died for all died, so that all can live through him. Would you pray with me? Father, we're gathered here as followers of your Son Jesus. And we're here because we want that ancient path. We want our feet on that ancient path. But, Father, we know it's the path of the cross. We know, Father, it takes daily self-death. It takes knowing the difference, Father, between my will and your will. So those times when my will starts crowding out your will, Father, I can put the old Calvin to death so that your will can rule in my life. Father, thank you so much for Jesus coming here and showing, number one, showing us, Father, what life is, and number two, making it possible to share in that life. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.